You're listening to audio from North Monroe Baptist Church. To find out more about the church or donate to this ministry, visit northmonroe.com.
I don't know about you guys, but I was refreshed by Richard and the choir and your singing this morning. Amen. Didn't that refresh you? You know, there's some churches that won't do that music and they won't honor those who have served. You know, being politically correct or something. I think we ought to start a new group called Me Three or something like that, you know. But I loved that. That was refreshing. Brings back a lot of memories for us, doesn't it, with our loved ones, people who have given, and more than we realize what they've given, because a lot of them never talked about it. You know, my dad's generation, they just didn't talk about it. So thankful. And what a great day. I'm refreshed to be with you here today. I appreciate Bill Dye letting me fill in for him. And, you know, no way to replace Bill Dye. I tell people about Bill Dye. Whenever you go to church and hear Bill Dye, he has something to say. And he has something for you. It's amazing, isn't it? And when the service is over, you want to almost like go, I'm glad I came today. I was just thinking about, you know, I had a little tickle in the throat, but I came, and I'm glad I came, because you got something, and you get something every time, and that's the way it is with him and his great staff. And so I just want you all to know what a refreshment. Laurie and I have been member here a long time before we left a year ago to go to Granbury to be near that grandson of Dusty's, Andrew James Floyd Swanberg. Yeah. He put my dad's name in there, Floyd. I mean, when he called me, he said, "Dad, it's going to be a boy, and his middle name is going to be Floyd." Well, you know, nowadays with millennials, and I love you millennials, but you don't say nothing. You just go, "Great, that's wonderful, great." Floyd. Don't do that to the boy. Don't put Floyd in there. I love my daddy, but don't put Floyd in there. I mean, anybody here named Floyd? Well, does that say it all right there? That's why they call you Kenneth. But you go along with it. God, that's great. And then we were at the Cattleman's Steakhouse. My little wife and I, she's back there somewhere. I saw her for just a minute ago. Back, stand up, little one. Stand up, Laurie. Be obedient. Right there, my little Laurie. So then they wanted us to meet them at Cattleman's, so they could tell us the whole full name. So we get to Cattleman's. Dusty's saying, "Okay, Dad, we love the name Andrew. We love the name Andrew. Both love Andrew." Okay, well, good. And when we finished reading the Bible out loud together, we finished in James. I don't know why we did it that way, but we finished in James, so we like James. And at that moment, I went, "Praise the Lord, Floyd got booted." And then he said, "Floyd Swanberg." I'm going, "Good night." And on the inside, I'm going, "Will that fit on a birth certificate?" And once again, I hear Laurie speaking in my ear, "Don't say nothing, don't say nothing, we don't say nothing. Everything's wonderful, everything's great." I'm going, "Liar, liar, pants on fire." And then Dustin, he said, "And we're going to call him." And he ripped his shirt off, had a T-shirt underneath there, the house that AJ Styles built, a wrestler. "And we're going to call him AJ. Well, praise the Lord. AJ. Just think, it could have been AJF. But AJ, and we love little AJ. 7 months old, we keep him 3 days a week. Oh, what a refreshment he is to us. Isn't that something about grandkids, a refreshment to you? Our kids, we love them through Jesus. The grandkids, what a refreshment they are. I love refreshments. You know how I've loved refreshments. As we joined the church here years ago and Brother Bill came, I think we ran 400 in Bible study, and God had just methodically blessed over the period of years Bill, the leadership, the people of God that have come together, and to see all this. And when I walked in the doors, you know, Warren was giving me directions how to walk in and, you know, come in. And the first thing I saw, that kids zone thing right there by the worship service. Is that awesome for you parents with kiddos? That's our future. And that's why we built the children's building, because we knew one day we would have this and they would have access. And it just gives you a great feeling. And once again, refreshed. And But back to the food, you know, being here. Our Sunday school class, Randy Smith's class and others, you know, in fellowships, did we eat? We can do some eating in Louisiana. When I get here, I just think about, you know, our Baptist bread pudding, which, you know, we burn it all off the bad stuff, except for a little. Sort of little NyQuil left over on it, but we could eat some desserts here, couldn't we? And man, I could gain some weight. Love refreshments. But the best refreshments in all the world are people. It's you, you know? It's you guys, our friends. Just to be with y'all and refreshment with y'all. When we come back for this wedding and this shower and that shower, Lord help us on these showers and how the South has showers. Well, I'm driving back. Laurie goes, I'm driving back over there. We're having a shower. I'm like, good night. You know, that's 5 hours over there for the gum shower. And then 5 hours back, you know. And they're getting wedding. Okay, you're not working, so I drive back. You try to make all that you can. And why do we do that? Because people are the best refreshment. People refresh you. You know, when I go and entertain, and if I break into Billy Graham and do a little Billy Graham, that refreshes some people because some like Billy Graham. And so the more I do Billy Graham and talk about him, and we want you here, we've chained all the doors together. You can't leave until you give an offering and make sure that Warren sees it. But you know, something like that, you know, that refreshes some people. Well, that might not have done something for some of you, but if I was to do my Bill Clinton, you know, people nowadays are so nervous about politics. You know, I'll do Ronald Reagan. Maybe. Many of y'all remember. Steve, Lily, y'all remember when I was running for president and they made a big to-do about my age, said I was too old. Young people, Google it. You'll find out. They made a big deal about my age. I remember when Huey Long and I went to have coffee with Abraham Lincoln, and he said it bothered him too. Well, see, then that some people laugh at that. They get refreshed at that. Or I was doing the Christmas party. It'll be 2 years for the FBI. Right after two of those had tweeted each other about, there were lovers that tweeted they didn't like Trump or something. Remember all that in the news? 2 weeks after that, I'm doing the Christmas thing for the FBI, and we're meeting up there in Little Rock at their station there, and I'm going, do I or do I not? I thought, well, like in the seminary, we learned, you know, it's easier to get forgiveness than permission, so I broke into my Bill Clinton. And I just said, hey, pray for Hillary, but do not email her at this time. Okay, And then I tried to do Trump. I can't do Trump yet, but, you know, huge. I don't know if he needs to blow his nose or take a Benadryl, but whatever. You know, huge. But, you know, people refresh people. George, J. George, good to see you, buddy. They refresh people. People refresh people. I tell people, if you need to, go to church. If you need to laugh, go to church, doc. And here's my eye doctor over here. I know you're over there because there's a blur, and I see, Jody came over to me. He said, hey, Swan. I'm going, huh? Say it again. Hey, Swan. Jody. Yeah, okay. I got my glasses on. Yeah. I saw you coming, but anyhow, appreciate the job you do. Hey, he's the best. Go see him, all right? Some of y'all are going, well, I need the man. I tell people, if you need to laugh, just go to church. I was at a big church thing for senior adult thing. I do a lot of seniors because I'm a senior now. And some of y'all noticed, you know, I used to try to dye my hair and everything, trying to stay with them. I just finally gave up. You know what I mean, buddy? I just finally gave up. And so I'm white, tight, bright, and a little spike. You know, I'm sort of spiking it. Some of y'all noticed that some of my friends are looking at me going, what in the hell? I mean, what'd you do with your hair? Well, you know, get over it. Dusty says it's great, which doesn't mean a lot, but at least I was one person that liked it. And I tell my wife, baby, what do you think? Well, you know, I mean. And, you know, she put out my clothes today. Honey, they're, you know, Brother Bill, they're a little different now. They, so, you know how they do. So you're wearing blue jeans and an untucked shirt. This untucked. See the little square? That's a sign it's an untucked. I'm doing this just for y'all. But look, Warren, he can't do it. He's still going to wear slacks. He ain't wearing blue jeans. He's going to wear slacks. Live or die, he'll have slacks on. But anyhow, I was at this big deal, and out in the lobby, like y'all have, they had some chairs, which is good for, you know, us seniors, you know, knee replacements and stuff. And there's these two guys, and they were like 92, 93 years old. Well, I thought this could be some new material for a new DVD. Macon, you know, good to see y'all, your little sugar babe. Need a new DVD, new material. So I went and I stood behind him and I hit solid gold. I got solid gold. I was listening, and this guy goes, "Hey, Lester, Lester." And old Lester went, "Yeah, yeah, Lester, Lester." And old Lester went, "Yeah, yeah." And they said, "Lester, was it you? Was it you? Or was it your brother that was killed in World War II?" And then Lester said, "Oh, that was my brother." And then the other guy said, "That's what I was thinking." I'm going, that's me and Warren Eckhart in a few years. People refresh people. People refresh people. I believe it. We need community. We need people. We need friends. And that's what's been tough on Laurie and I the most this last year, 1 year. We miss Louisiana. We miss what in Louisiana? Our friends. We miss you. We miss you guys. You know, we like a town that's, you know, after 27 years where you're familiar, but you miss your friends. My friends, our friends. And we have them in our heart. We have Facebook and stuff like that. But, you know, your friends. And we've missed you. We've missed our church. We've missed Bill and the staff. We're adjusting because we know that the answer for us is community. So we have to make some new friends. We can't just get all tied up with little AJ, keeping him 3 days a week and not getting paid, but, you know, keeping him three, you know. Did I let that slip out? But people refresh you. If you have your Bible with you, look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. I love this verse. Paul's writing to Timothy, young preacher, and he's saying, now, Timothy, I want you to hang in there. He was encouraging him. You know what? Encourage your pastor. Encourage your staff. Give them encouragement. It ain't easy. It's not easy for them. I can still remember what it was like. I left the pastor in 95. Free at last, free at last. Thank God I'm free at last. But they're not free at last. They're not free at last. And they need encouragement, understanding. Let a lot of stuff go. Let it go. It don't matter. If you don't like the way Brother Bill handled that topic, we'll watch David Jeremiah during the week on television. Maybe you'll have a turning point experience in your life. And if that's not good enough, get Dr. Stanley. And then get in touch, get out of touch, get in touch, and if you need to, my buddy Robert Jefferson, First Baptist, you know, pathway to victory. Maybe you'll find a pathway somewhere. But, oh, they can wear you out, those ministry names. But anyhow, he said, Timothy, you can make it. You got to be strong. You need good doctrine. You need to handle the situation. You need to pastor that church. You have a good mom. You had a good grandma. I'm sure his dad was a good man. And now I want to give you, I'm going to tell you about a friend of mine that can be an illustration for you. He says, may the Lord, in verse 16, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, may the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus, what a guy. You know, he never got a bicycle tag, never got a keychain. Sort of like my wife, Laurie. Her mother spelled her name Laurie, L-A-U-R-E-E. She never got a bicycle tag, never got a check, never got a, you know. keychain, and it's been an issue with the psychiatrist for years now. But I asked her mother, why did you do that? I want her to be called Laurie. So everywhere, all of our lives, Laurie, L-A-U-R-E-E, you know, just. But Onessa Forrest, can you imagine? May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onessa Forrest, because he often refreshed me. Don't you love that word? He refreshed me. They were buddies down at Ephesus. They had served together down at Ephesus and became buddies. You know, the best way to become a good buddy is serve with a buddy. The best way to make a good friend is serve with another lady. Serve with the body of Christ. Do the Lord's work together. Rub shoulders together. Sweat together. Work together. And all of a sudden, a bond and a friendship. And they had that bond, Paul and Onesiphorus. Well, now Paul is in prison. He's in Rome. And this is the last stop before heaven. He knows that it'll be just a matter of time before they take his head off. And he knows it. It's not going to be an appeal. Nero is the emperor, and he's putting everything on the Christians, and he's got the Christians' man, and it's a matter of time. But in the midst of a matter of time, he's trying to encourage a young preacher. He's trying to let him know how important it is to refresh people like Onesiphorus did. He refreshed me, and it's the idea is that he did it often. It was the common denominator of his life. He said, he refreshed me. And he goes on to say, and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. What a story. What a man to highlight. Onesiphorus traveled probably 15-something hundred miles from Ephesus to Rome. He sought me. He looked hard for me. He worked at it. It wasn't easy. He probably had to have a little chunk of gold sewed into his cloth and slip it to somebody to find out where he was in Rome. He had to maybe slip out another little chunk of gold that he had sewn into his clothing to give to the guard. Let me see him. Don't let anybody know that I am here with him. I'll pay you even a little more because I want to bring him some parchments. I want him to be able to write us letters. We love his letters. Don't you know that the body of Christ, they loved the letter to Colossae. They loved the letter to the Galatians. They loved the letters to the Thessalonians. They loved the letters to the Philippians. The Philippians. They loved the letter that was to the Romans. They would pass those around. They were cherished. He probably brought Paul some letters from the churches to encourage him. Maybe brought him some medicine. Brought him greetings. Prayed for him. Wow. He refreshed me. May his family know mercy. I'm going to tell you something. If you and I want our family to know mercy, you be a refresher. I can't explain it in God's economy, but if I can refresh people, I know that he will show mercy to my family. Listen, If I have to, I can live on the dollar menu at Mickey D's. I can run through a Taco Bell and get me a corn tortilla with some beans, and that'll hold me. I could live cheap. I can do fine. I'll be all right. You know, we men, I don't know, you get to that stage where, you know, it doesn't take much to satisfy us. Give us a recliner and a channel changer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want my family to know mercy. I want my wife to know mercy. I want my boys to know mercy. I want my grandson to know mercy. I'm fine. I want them, you want them to be blessed. You be a refresher then. That's how it works. He said he refreshed me and he was not ashamed of my chains. Now, did you catch that little phrase? He was not ashamed of my chains. I'm in prison. I'm in chains. And you have to know there were some people in Ephesus that were upset about it. You know, there might have been that sweet little church lady going, well, you know, Paul, if he would be shrewd as a serpent and harmless as a dove, he wouldn't be in prison. But he's sort of bold, you know, and has his little... And now we have to take up a love offering for him because he's in jail. Probably one of the men in the church.
Well, you know what? He's the type of man that puts his finger in somebody's chest and somebody's going to break it off. And that's why he's there in prison. I mean, he, you know him. Now we're having to support him and pray for him. Good night.
I'm going to tell you something. Onesiphorus was not ashamed of his chains. How he got there, why he got there. Let me ask you something. Are you ashamed of any of your loved ones' chains? There's all kinds of chains, aren't there? You know, are you ashamed of any of your loved ones' chains? Are your buddies' chains? You know, my family, we've got a little book out there called No More Secrets. So, you know, so you get the book and, you know, we don't have too many, as many secrets as we did because it's a very transparent book. But, you know, my boys have had bumps in the road. Some of you here, you know, someone in here might have had some bumps with him or with them. Hello? We're in a small community. We sort of all know what's going on. You know, there can be, I can be in an event, you know, come back home or something. There might be someone in the corner going,
well, you know, they had a lot of trouble with their boys.
Well, you know what I've learned? We're all recovering from something, aren't we? Yeah, my boys have had bumps in the road. Laurie's family, my family, we all have issues. Secrets make you sick and silence is the enemy of healing. I'm not ashamed of my boys' chains. You know what? I sure have learned a lot from my boys. I remember some years ago in 2012, Dusty was in town and he woke me up that Saturday morning and said, Dad, you want to go to an AA meeting with me? And, you know, I'd never been to one. I wanted to go, but Laurie always said, honey, you don't go unless they ask you to go. He asked me to go that Saturday morning. And I said, well, yeah. He said, there's a real good one, Dad, up there in the Church of Christ Church right there by ULM. I said, okay, well, I can go in that Church of Christ Church and sing a cappella if I need to. We rode up there. We went in there. There was 100 people in there. I mean, you know, now listen, I had left First Baptist West Monroe in 1995 as their pastor, you know, but we still live here and around, and I still knew people. It had been 17 years, you know, but when I went in there and I got my coffee and I'm looking around, well, there's some of my old Baptists from First Baptist West Monroe, and I had my coffee and went, hey, how you doing? And then I saw the guy that sold me my truck, and I went, hey, hey, hey. And you know what my first thought was? I don't know how this works, but I hope they come around and let me introduce myself so I can let them know that I'm good and I'm with Dustin. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I got my reputation. And I'm with him. He's the recovering guy. I'm good. I mean, I'm telling you. That was my first thought. And so help me, I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus spoke to my heart and he said, you self-righteous preacher, who do you think you are? And I have to be honest with you, that did not faze me a bit. I was still concerned about me. And then he said, this is an AA meeting. It's anonymous. And I said, yeah, I know it's anonymous, but there's some Baptists in here. And you know Baptists. They're going to go out there and go,
I saw Brother Dennis at a Bill and Bob meeting. And you know what happens. I guess he fell off the wagon. You know, just.
The Lord said, I want you to sit down, I want you to drink your coffee, and I want you to eat your donut, and I want you to listen. I want you to learn something. And I learned more effectively that day that we are all recovering from something. You know why we don't do the 12 steps in Sunday school? Too hard. We ain't gonna do that. That's too hard. That's for people with big problems. Let me tell you something. You know what I've come to realize? As long as your sin is smaller than mine, I'm good. As long as your sin is bigger than mine, I'm good. Did I say that wrong? I may have reversed it. Well, heck, I'm 65, Richard, you know. And I know you didn't tie that tie yourself. You know, you had your wife help. Yeah. As long as their sin is bigger than mine, I'm good. I feel good. I feel good about myself. There's a Hebrew word for that, bakar, bakar, whole bunch of bull. If you miss the mark, we miss the mark. I don't care if you missed it a half an inch or a 1,000th of an inch or a mile. You missed it. We're all guilty. We're all in this together. So in my remaining moments, I want to give you some points. I'm not real good at giving points, but I want to how you can refresh somebody. Because there's someone that you need to refresh, someone I need to refresh. First of all, you need to be able to share with people, communicate with people to help build them up. You know, like write a letter, a note. Laurie and I were on a cruise with David Jeremiah up at the Northeast, you know, New England cruise. And Kay Arthur was on the boat. She wasn't speaking or anything, but she was just chilling, sort of hiding out. We were at a specialty restaurant, which is, you know, one of those you pay an extra $20, you know, which I think is, of course, Laurie goes, I think the food is so much better, you know. You know, I don't care about quality. I want quantity. But we're up there, we saw the lady. I just said it. Kay Arthur. And so we hug her, and Laurie and them are hugging. And all of a sudden, Laurie, we just finished Bible study with Dr. Jeremiah. She grabbed her Bible and took out of a letter from her Bible showed it to Kay that Kay had sent her in 1988. And she said, I carry this in my Bible. And when Kay read it, she starts bawling. And Laurie is bawling. And I'm going, what is going on, these women? So I grab the letter and I read it. I'd never seen it in there because I don't go through Laurie's stuff like she goes through mine. Are you listening to me, woman? And while they were bawling, I opened her Bible and not one note for me. And I've written many notes to my wife. Not one, not uno. But I learned that day the power of a note. You got a loved one, write them a note. Write it, print it. If they don't know cursive, print it. Write people. The second thing you need to do is, if you want to refresh people, is share your stuff. You know, help them out. Maybe buy their meal. You see, their tires are bad. Buy them a couple of tires. They need to be balanced. You know, get two. One's bad, the other one's not. We'll buy two so they'll be matches. And some of you are thinking, right, well, but if I did that for somebody, I'd have to do it for everybody. No, you don't. You do it for whoever God tells you to do it for. And if your kids get upset about it, go, good night, Dad, you never bought me new tires. Well, tell them to get over it. Just do what God asks you to do. You know, you share your stuff. You share your influence. You share your time. You refresh people by maybe giving them a recommendation. You take their resume and put it in their right hands. You share your influence because you want to refresh people. You want to refresh them with life and hope. But the most important thing to me to refresh people is to show up. When you show up, can you imagine what Paul must have felt when Onesiphorus comes walking in his prison cell? His old buddy. His buddy showed up. Can you imagine the encouragement that was for him? He traveled all that distance. Now, there's still going to be that old boy down at the church at Ephesus.
Well, you know, he's a businessman on this force. He goes to Rome quite often. And I'm sure while he was up there, he saw Paul so he could write it off.
I don't think Nero's going to let you write it off. Matter of fact, if you want to go back and read, there's a phrase that many scholars, listen to this. It says, may the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. That's a Jewish phrase that they used at Jewish funerals for people that had died. Many scholars believe that Onesiphorus died in coming to Paul to help Paul. That he died. That's another reason he said, may his family know mercy. He may have died trying to help Paul. Quickly, is there anyone you would die for? Who would you die for? I'll tell you who I'd die for. I'd die for my Laurie. I'd die for my little honey love, my sugar baby, my woman. I'd die for Chad, my oldest boy. You know, Chad's had his issue. Chad had his life. He's done, you know, blah, blah, blah. I tell you what, I love him. You know, on my boy's worst days, I found out I loved him more. Is that the weirdest thing? How much more so our Heavenly Father? I'd die for Chad. I would die for Dustin. You know, it's Dustin now because he's married. Not Dusty. You know, you have to, sometimes I go, hey, Dusty, how you doing? You know, his wife, Dustin. So I'm, hey, Dusty, Dustin. Laurie goes, Dustin, oh, Dustin. When I'm just with him sometime, I just go, hey, Dusty. Dustin, I'd die for Dustin. I'd die for Brittany, his wife. What a woman. What a great gal. She's a dog trainer, and we're praying that she'll train Dustin. And he's good. He sits, comes, rolls over. You know, I'd die for AJ, wouldn't I? If you're a grandparent, raise your hand. Wouldn't you? You would die for that grandbaby. I'd die for little AJ. Now, my mom, she's going to be 90, so... I'm just messing with you. I'm messing with you. I'd die for my mama. She's going to be 90 August 23rd. We're getting ready to have her 90th birthday. I love my mama, Pauline Bernadette. Benji Harlan's one of my best friends. He's a music man. Benji Harlan would die for me. Benji Harlan would take a bullet for me. We've known each other since 72. He would take a bullet for me. I told him the other day, I'd take one in the shoulder for him. Onesiphorus may have died helping his buddy. He showed up. Many of you have showed up for us. You came to the wedding. You came to the shower. You came to the next shower. You came to the next wedding. You accepted us at the next shower for somebody else and included us on the list. You showed up for us when we were sick and down and out and stuff. You just kept on loving us. You showed up for us. We thank you. Brother Bill, he'll text me from time to time. She shows up. Warren will call me out of the blue sometime, just showing up. Bump into Richard and his family down there at Alexandria last year. Just show up. Show up. And this is my last illustration. I'll leave you. And when my dad died in 2012, old Floyd Leon. Man, I've told a lot of stories on Floyd. Made a lot of money off of Floyd Leon. You know, when I first started this back in 1995, I called him. I said, "Dad, what do you think about me doing this full time?" And you know what my dad said?
"I think you're pretty funny. I think you're pretty funny."
I said, "Well, thank you, Dad." He said, "I wouldn't buy a ticket to hear you." That's what he told me. I said, "I appreciate the encouragement." "You better believe it now." And then when, you know, when that generation, when they were through, they just hung up. I'm going, "Hey, hello?" They were done. When they were done, they were done. I was down there at Hyde Park Baptist Church. I was down there at the front, had my hand on my dad's cold, waxed, embalmed hands. We've been there, hadn't we, Warren? We've been there, hadn't we, staff? You know, it's amazing, isn't it, how your hands look a lot like your dad's hands? You noticing that, man? I'm getting spots on my arms, little hickeys. My arms bleed easier. When I wash my hands and I put them underneath that dryer at the truck stop, my skin looks like waves at Gulf Shores, Alabama, just tide going in and tide going out. Just, you want to know what I'm saying? You know what I'm telling you? And I didn't expect anybody to come to my dad's funeral. That's 7.5 hours from West Monroe, Monroe. I'd been out of the pastorate for 17 years at First Baptist West Monroe. I'm not expecting anybody there to come. Good night. That's a long way. We're busy today. We're busy. We're all busy. I'm busy. I miss so much stuff. I miss stuff all the time for family and friends. I wasn't expecting anybody. But when I turned and I looked up the center aisle, I see Pat Williams, John Ray, Dix Johnston, and Joe Thomas coming down that aisle. They'd driven 7.5 hours. They got a ticket in Chandler, Texas, just west of Tyler. Pat Williams was driving $147. And he's still mad because the rest of the guys haven't helped chip in for the ticket. I'm going to tell you something. I've never forgotten it. And I doubt I ever will. Power of someone showing up in your life. Aren't you glad Jesus showed up? Showed up at Bethlehem. Showed up at the temple asking questions when he was 12. Showed up at the Sea of Galilee. Showed up in the upper room. Showed up for the fella that was up a tree wanting to see a friendly face, Zacchaeus. Showed up for the woman at the well who wanted some living water. Don't you know she was glad Jesus showed up? What about the Gadarene demoniac? He'd been in 6 rehabs and Jesus showed up. Oh, the difference that Jesus made when Jesus shows up. The lame man for 38 years. Don't you know he's glad Jesus showed up? And I'm going to tell you something. He showed up on a hill called Calvary. And he showed up outside an empty tomb. And one day he will show up again. Hallelujah. May he come quickly. May he come quickly. And until then, may we show up. May we show up for him, be his hands and his feet as best we can, when you have opportunity. You can't do it all. You can't make everything. You can't be it everywhere. But when you can, show up. And what a day that'll be for that person to be refreshed. Oh, how she refreshed me. Again, Laurie and I want to say thank you for refreshing us. Matter of fact, just being invited back has refreshed us for days and weeks as we've looked forward to this day. God bless you, and we love you. Amen.